Good day, you guys. Welcome back to Let's Be Honest. Thank you so much for tuning back. And this is your girl Rupani. Very grateful for each and every one of you guys. I know it's been a very long minute, but we're back better than ever. And so with this interview, we went ahead and just started talking, but I really enjoyed the beginning of it, so I didn't think to cut it out or anything. So without further ado, we'll go ahead and get started.
Like, all Black people need to be entrepreneurs, man.
For real. Uh-huh. I think it's a game, but like, no. It's, I mean, especially in our current state, you know, with all this police brutality and like,
girl,
a lot of that is like due to a lack of our economic standing and unity.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But hopefully one day we'll get there. Like, we'll all get there for sure.
We got to get on the same page first. We can't even, you know, I got into it. Like, I had time. I made time one day on Instagram. Because I be thinking I'm following, like, you know, conscious, like, for the people, positivity, you know, whatever. And then I'll see something, like, super left field. Basically, I saw something left field where there was symbolism where, like, a Pan-African was kicking, like, a transgender person.
What?
Yeah, and it wasn't, like, actually people. It was, like, just, like, stick figure kind of things going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it was like the Pan-African flag person kicking the LGBTQ person. And the dude posted it. And I'm just like, you know that some Black people are gay?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't, he's like, oh, I never, but I'm just like,
yo,
but I'm just
that
like, that's
up.
Weird. And I tried to, I called him out and he just, you know, he wasn't really for it, but he wanted to kind of go back and forth over, like, over nothing. But I'm just like, at least in my mind, Black people, in the current state that we are in as Black and African, you know, people, the whole diaspora, everybody, like, I don't think we really got time to be picking and choosing, be like, oh, you're gay or you're light-skinned, so you're not a part of the group. Like, no.
We don't
have time for that.
We really don't.
You know? White people aren't like, oh, well, you're Irish, so...
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, they don't do that. Oh, your eyes are green. What the hell? You know?
Yeah. It's like everybody else sticks together except for Black people.
Yep. I threw a statistic at him. It was so funny. I was talking about, like, because it was so crazy because the night before I had just watched a video on Dr. Umar Johnson, and you know, he's like studied psychology and everything, and he was saying
watch him too.
Yeah, that's my guy. He was saying that like at least 95% of like the people that come through you know, his office, like especially like people who are like, you know, identify as queer or whatever, 95% of them were like sexually assaulted, or you know, there was some kind of trauma that kind of was, I guess, the onset of them becoming gay or maybe choosing to be gay. I don't know what it was. So I'm just like, you know, I told dude, like, speak on that. Because he was trying to make it seem like a person being gay is as bad as, you know, a sex offender being a sex offender. I'm like, no! It's not the same thing!
Yeah, he wasn't understanding.
No. So I just hate the separatism. Like, we just don't need that.
Exactly. Have you heard of the book Powernomics?
No, ma'am.
Oh, I'm reading that right now. It's really good. It's by Claude Anderson. Have you heard of him?
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah, girl. I'll send you the links and everything.
What is it about? Is it about, like, economics or?
Yeah, basically, it's, I just started it this week. I ordered it from Amazon. And it's basically, like, history of like Black economics and like teaching people, like especially the Black community, about like reparations and like coming together and what to do with our money and how, like, you know, white people, they already knew the game. They already knew how to pass, you know, money from generation to to their kids and so forth. Yep. But we don't know how to do that. So, like, basically the whole book, like, so far in the first chapter that I'm reading, it's saying, you know, like, it's telling, you know, how to do things the correct way, because he's trying to, like, just, you know, retrain Black people, basically, to, like, a different mindset.
But, and that's what you have to do, honestly. Like, you know, I used to have a lot of friends like, oh my gosh, my timeline is so this or so that. I'm like, honey, you get to pick and choose who you follow. If you follow people like that, that's what you'll see. And I had to, like, filter through mine and just be like, I need, whenever I hop on Instagram, I need to see Black love. I need to see exercise and fitness. I need to see, you know, just like good positive things. I need to see things about travel. I need to see uplifting videos. I hate seeing videos of us being shot and you know, and like, you know, like, I know that stuff is going on. I don't feel like seeing that strengthens you. You know?
Yeah, the media loves promoting negativity. Yeah.
They almost sensationalize death. You know?
Exactly. So
it's weird.
But today, with our episode, girl, we just started talking.
Side note.
You're good, but like, for the new listeners, do you just want to go ahead and reintroduce yourself?
Yes, absolutely. My name is Danielle, but you can call me Danny. I currently live in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where, you know, everything went down this summer, you know, or last summer, I guess. Wow, it was that long ago.
It already flew
like
by.
Just yesterday. Yeah, but rest in peace to our brother George Floyd, for real.
For real, yeah. Well, I'm so glad you're back on the show. Like, thank you guys so much for listening again. I'm so glad I got a second interview with you. So today, it's basically just random life questions, just getting to know you better and what you're about and everything like that. So it's like not a long episode. I don't have like a million questions for you. It's just like... a few questions, just getting to know you and your background, your thoughts and everything.
Okay.
Awesome. So, do you want to take about like 4 to 5 minutes and just tell us about you in detail as much as possible?
Oh man, that's so vague. That's like broad. I don't know what, like, I can need some specificity.
All right. Like, what made Danielle who she is today?
Okay, girl. So, that's a better question.
Okay, there you go.
I perked up in my seat a little bit. no, wow. What made Danielle Lene Danielle Lene? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that is crazy. So, I guess I will start by saying, you know, obviously thankful for my wonderful parents who birthed me, who, you know, conceived and birthed me. I was raised in a single parent household headed by my mother. Although I'm very, very close to my father, you know, to this day, she was the one who was there physically, and all the experiences surrounding that, you know, has definitely manifested into my adulthood. But you know, I'll admit, my relationship with my mom is not the healthiest. I absolutely love her and wish her the best, but it's just not, it's that relationship. It's not, conducive to my well-being and peace of mind. But like I said, I wish her well.
Yeah.
But a lot of what happened, you know, during my upbringing with my mom, I would say is potentially attributable to her mental health. You know, my mom struggles with, you know, schizophrenia, bipolar, paranoia, depression, anxiety, bipolar, you know, and I'm not sure if she was dealing with all of those things, you know, when me and my brother were young, but Once I didn't find out that she was diagnosed with all those mental health conditions until I was a freshman in college. So once I was, 18 years old, that's when I found that out. Mm-hmm. But when I found it out, I'm like, oh my gosh, that explains so much. So, you know, my upbringing, there was some pretty dark things that happened. Like, my mom, basically a lot of what I went through, you know, I feel like any other person would have crumbled. And at the end of the day, life is about, you know, in any given situation, making you or breaking you, you know? And so I've always been a firm believer in, having a strong will. And I understand that not everybody does. But like I said, what I've gone through for me, you know, I could have easily broke me, but instead mm-hmm. I wanted to go forward and break cycles, right? I wanted to go forward and break chains. Yes. And I believe that's what I'm doing now. You know, like I said, our relationship wasn't the greatest between me and my mom. So I always wanted to have a daughter, and I always wanted to have a daughter just so I can get an opportunity to be, you know, a mother to her. Like mm-hmm. I was not mothered.
Wow. Excuse me,
you know, mm-hmm. and here I am, you know, today, 28 years old, and I have a 6-year-old. She's about to be 7 next month. And you know, she tells me all the time, and she showers me with her love as best as she can as a 6-year-old. And you know, I have a pretty solid support system that, you know, pretty regularly reminds me like I'm like doing great as a mother. You know, some days I don't always feel like that.
Yeah.
But you know, whole looking at the big picture, I think I'm definitely on track. So that's a cycle I wanted to break. You know, and I grew up a welfare baby. Shout out. I'm here today. What? But, you know, but again, another cycle I wanted to break. I don't want to be, you know, on welfare and government assistance. I want to be for real free. Like, you know, they say that America's the land of the free, but it ain't really free until you have a strong financial position mm-hmm. to where, you know, you don't have to worry about anything but, you know, what you're going to have for brunch.
Exactly.
You know? So that's why, you know, over the past, I'd say 3 years, I've been trying to, you know, just adopt more of an entrepreneurial mindset and just figure out how I can, you know, monetize my gifts and, mm-hmm. and also give back and help people at the same time. You know, one of my dreams is to, you know, once I'm in a stronger financial position, I want to give back to my community and establish, you know, some type of facility to where, you know, I can give back to the kids, and, you know, the facility would be geared towards teaching them about wealth creation and financial literacy mm-hmm. and, you know, entrepreneurship, because I think that's really important. I don't think our kids learn a whole lot about those kinds of topics. They definitely don't learn about it in school.
No, they don't.
And they definitely, you know, I'd say probably 80 to 90% of the time, at least in African American and Black households, probably are not learning about, you know, stuff like that.
Like, we get a big check, the first thing we want to do is buy a car, get our nails done,
and buy everything.
Yeah. So,
and that's just not how you're supposed to do. You know, you're supposed to save some money. Mm-hmm. And that's one way to get rich. I'm not saying like, you know, you save forever and you'll just like automatically become rich, but saving and, you know, putting a little towards investments or whatever you got to do, mm-hmm. You know, multiple streams of income. But for the most part, Danielle Lene, you know, I had a roof over my head growing up. I can't complain about that. My mom was very authoritative and very big on discipline. So, you know, I got a lot of that and it made me who I am today. I want to break cycles, make a difference, and you know, be financially free so I can enjoy my life and spend time with my family like I really want to.
Yeah. And you're well on your way. Like,
thank you. I'm trying. Yeah.
But yeah, that was really cool. Like, thanks for sharing that.
Of course.
So if you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be?
Consistency.
Yeah. Are you a procrastinator?
Yes, ma'am.
Since
high school, hey.
Oh man. But, and, you know, eventually it gets done, but
yeah, it does. And, you know, I used to always be like, oh, you know, I kind of like waiting till the last minute, because then, like, that's when I produce, like, my best work. And that was the truth, especially in college.
Oh, yeah.
You know, excuse me. I would, you know, my major was basically, you read this, you look at that, you analyze this, and write a paper.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and writing papers, procrastinating on that can be scary. Yeah. Like, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah, cramping to write something at the last minute, girl.
Yep. No, but you know, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I'd say one of my strong suits is definitely writing. I'm a pretty good writer.
Mm-hmm.
If I could have written about, like, math and algebra, like, yeah. I probably would have gotten a better, you know, grade in math if I could write a paper about it than actually doing it.
I definitely hear you on that, for sure.
Yep.
But, girl, speaking of writing,
mm-hmm.
one of my poems got published in a poetry book.
Yes! Which one is it? Take a Soup for the Soul 2021?
Girl, I'm gonna send it to you.
Yes, I'm here for it.
Yeah, thanks.
What is it entitled?
It was the first poem that I wrote, like, it was titled Erotic Dreams. Ooh. But, like, the guy, the editor, he was just like, that's kind of too sexual or, like, inappropriate. So he, like, changed the title to just Dreams. So,
right, don't tell you what kind of dream, but once you read it, you'll
know. Once you read it, you'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if a crystal ball could tell you the truth about yourself, your life, the future, or anything else, what would you want to know?
I wouldn't want to know anything.
No?
Nope. I don't know. I'm kind of weird in that way. I think back to, like, communication class, like, back in, like, college. And if I knew that I was next to go up and speak into, like, you know, a public speaking course or whatever, if I knew, like, oh, it's Brian, Sue, and Danielle, I would, like, get so anxious. For real. And I would just be, like, you know, starting to, like, shake and, like, heart beating. But, you know, if it's just going along, like, la, la, you know, mm-hmm. and then it's like, okay, Danielle, or you're up. You know, it's kind of that procrastinating thing where like, when I'm on the spot, then it's like, okay, I got you. But, I don't know. So I feel like that kind of speaks to, like, me not knowing. I feel like it's more scary
mm-hmm.
to know.
Really?
Than to not know. I don't think that we should want to know everything. Like, I don't think I would want to know, like, you know, go to, like, a poem reader or whatever and know that I'm going to, you know, pass away at 30, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just like, no, I don't know, because then I'm going to live life differently. I'm going to behave differently, which maybe could be a good thing for some people. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But, no, the only thing if I would want to know maybe is when I'm a strike it rich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
That's about it.
I feel like me and you are kind of opposite on that. Well, like, of course, I don't want to know when I'm going to die, but, like, I don't like surprises. Like, I want to know everything all the time. Mm.
I love surprises, and quite frankly, I don't get surprised enough, but I digress.
We know.
Right? Now you know. Now you all know. Surprise Danny. But yeah, and honestly, me knowing everything, like, I forget things. Like, my dad, he called me the other day, and he was trying to, like, okay, Danielle, this is going to happen, then that's going to happen, then that's going to happen. I'm like, Dad, just tell me my role, please. I don't need everything else, because I'm going to forget anyway.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Is there something that you've dreamed of doing for a long time? And if there is, or if there isn't, why haven't you done it yet?
You mean like a particular activity or like just anything?
Like anything that you've dreamed about doing, like a goal or personally, like just anything that you've always wanted to do.
Got you. Well, honestly, the main thing is just working towards, you know, being more financially secure and financially free. And then I would, you know, have the freedom to do whatever I want. And that's really the main focus. And honestly, what has kept me from that is consistency. Like, I know all the things to do, but if you don't, you know, grind it out every day, like, you're not going to get the results that you want. And so I say that's the main thing I'm working towards, you know, and in the job that I have, that I think that's really going to be helpful in helping me get there. You know, and some other things that I have my hands in, I think that'll definitely help me get there. But that's the main thing, is trying to get financially free, and then I can do whatever
you want, man. What is your greatest accomplishment in life?
Oh, man. I don't really like toot my own horn a lot. I really I've been told that I downplay my accomplishments, because in my mind, you know, I'm just like, ain't that what I'm supposed to do? Like, why do I need to be praised for something like that? But
you don't give yourself a pat on the back once in a while?
I really don't. I just be like, whoo, got that done, what's next? You know,
the energy though, like
for real, just keep it pushing, keep it moving.
Yeah.
But other than that, a great accomplishment, I'd say just, you know, obviously bringing my daughter into this world and being able to support her and establish as good of a life as we can have for right now. That's a huge accomplishment, you know.
Yeah.
Especially since I had her, you know, I had her when I was 21. That's not too young, but it's not like, you know, full grown either.
Yeah.
I mean, legally it is, but you know, your brain isn't fully developed until you're what, 25, 26 or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, but because, you know, I see every day there's just babies raising babies, don't know how to raise these kids.
And yeah,
that's a really serious issue, a whole nother topic, but yeah. For real, I say it's one of my greatest accomplishments is knowing that I am raising a really amazing and upstanding young Black woman, and who's going to be a great addition to society as a whole. So.
Yeah, exactly. And I've seen pictures of your daughter. I've seen videos of her. She's beautiful, Black girl.
That is my baby. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. What do you value the most in a friendship?
What do I value the most?
Mm-hmm.
It's a toss-up between communication and quality time.
Quality time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are also, is communication a love language? I'm not sure, but I know for sure quality. Is it? Okay. Mm-hmm. I know that quality time is definitely a love language, and that's just it for me. Like, if you say you rock with me, you got to actually put in that time and effort to actually, you know, be around me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's when I feel like we're close. That's when I feel like we're friends, you know? I probably say more quality time than communication for friendships, but yeah,
same here too.
Mm-hmm.
What is your most treasured memory?
My most treasured memory. Oh man, we have to like categorize like different scenarios.
One that you love the most.
Wow.
Girl, I am digging in there.
You gotta dig. Thank you. Give me time to dig, sis. I don't want to be so cliche and continue to speak about my child, but that's my baby.
Girl, that's your baby.
You know? Say the question one more time.
What is your most treasured memory?
So, my daughter's so weird. So we were just pulling up to the house last night, and she you know the song Pain? Is it called Pain by No, it's called Believer, actually. It's called Believer by Imagine Dragons.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so she just randomly started inserting my name into the lyrics. And, you know, you make my mommy. And I'm like, oh, my baby. So, like, little stuff like that is what I absolutely treasure. Yeah, like moments like that when my daughter just, you know, randomly comes up to me and tells me that she loves me, or, you know, it randomly, you know, makes me a one of her craft projects or something.
That's
yeah.
So beautiful. I love that.
Yeah, those are the treasures, man.
Yeah. Then the second question, follow up, what is your most terrible memory?
Oh, man. We're gonna go to a bit of a dark place. Isn't it terrible how you can like you can call on like the negative stuff like real quick, but when you're like, oh, what's something positive? It takes forever.
It takes forever, girl.
Oh, yeah, that is terrible. I wonder if that's like a learned societal like.
Yeah, I feel
behavior
like.
Like, are we socialized to do that?
I feel like we are. Like, it's more negative than positive. So that gets, like, embedded in your brain.
I think so. And something just not right.
Mm-hmm.
But my worst memory was... So I told you, like, my relationship with my mom, not the greatest. And mm-hmm. So one time... In band camp. No, I'm kidding. one time. Like,
band camp.
In band camp. Never been in band. I was in choir, though. Hey. But no, my mom, she was like on me. So obviously, you know, I was raised with my brother. And, you know, so we had chores and all of that. My brother, bathroom, whatever. I did the dishes. Kitchen, living room, whatever. Mm-hmm. So sometimes my mom would ask me to put like bleach in the dishwater. You mm-hmm. know, kind of cleans out the towel, gives the dishes a little extra cleansing, you know, mm-hmm. effect, I guess, whatever. And you know, have you ever done dishes and you not splash water?
And not what?
Splashed water. Or dripped water on the floor. Or
it
the
always
counter.
Does.
It always it's inevitable, right?
Yeah.
All right. Thought so. So she had been like hounding me for a little bit about like stop getting bleach on my rug. So there's a rug, you know, in front of the sink where you do dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, when I think about it now, I'm like, maybe that type of rug shouldn't have been at a dish sink anyway, but whatever.
Yeah.
But anyways, when I would do the dishes with bleach in it sometimes, like, it would bleach the rug. And obviously, like I said, I'm not doing it on purpose. But when you do dishes, shit happens.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so one night, I was in my room, and I was, you know, just doing my thing. At the time, my room was in the basement. So heard my mom coming down the stairs. She came in, and she said something about, you know, what did I tell you about? You know, getting bleach on my rug. And mind you, she had a cup. I didn't realize it, but she had a cup of bleach in her hand. She took that cup of bleach and she poured it over all of my clothes in my closet. So, yep. So all of my clothes had bleach stains either on all on the left side, you know, based on how I had my closet set up, you know, with my hangers and everything. All of like the shoulders of a lot of my t-shirts and sweaters, sweatsuits, whatever, had bleach on it or the pale the left side of the pants. And then what she didn't throw on my clothes, she threw on me.
Are you serious?
I bullshit you not. That's one of the worst memories I have. And definitely need, you know, a therapist one day.
Yeah.
To work through everything. But
girl, speaking of therapists, I'm going to one soon.
Oh my gosh, you make me so happy. And talk about inspiration. I love it. I love to hear that.
My first appointment is on Friday.
That is so good. I need to stop playing. Like, through my job, I think there's like a service that'll that offers mental health to me and my daughter. Mental health services to both of us. So yeah, I just need to set up an appointment with them. But then it would be a matter of, you know, finding a time to sit with them. I feel like there's just not enough hours in the day, or maybe too much time is committed to work, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, but damn, I'm so sorry that happened.
Yeah, you ever read the book A Child Called It?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I felt.
Aww.
And he didn't deserve it, and neither did I.
Definitely not. Girl, you were a child. Like, you weren't doing it on purpose. Like.
No, no. So, yeah, I'd say that's one of my worst memories.
Damn. Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Made me who I am.
Yeah, you're a lot stronger. A strong Black woman today.
For real. And I set a trend, though, a little bit. I started seeing other people with bleach stains. I'm like, no, you didn't. No, you did not. Bleach your shirt on purpose.
You started that.
Not intentionally, but
yeah. If you knew that in 1 year you would die suddenly, what would you change anything about the way you are living now, and why?
Oh God, I would stop eating poison. Like.
Yeah.
I stop eating out. No, that's a lie. I would stop eating fast food, but I'm still going to be up in your Fogo de Chao. All of your Black owned businesses and restaurants, I would probably do like a lot more community service and like give back, not community service, but what they call volunteering, stuff like that. And really, like, try to hunker down and just make sure that, you know, my daughter would be financially straight if, you know, once I'm not there. But, yeah.
Okay.
Support Black business. Make sure my baby is straight. And,
hell, yeah.
and eat healthy.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. All right. Last question for you, girl. What does friendship mean to you?
Everything. No, that's such a great question, because I feel like everybody's definition is a little bit different. And I didn't really get a handle on my definition until probably like 2021 years old. And so now I'm even like friends I've had for like years now since college, I'm still evaluating constantly. I'm like, you was kind of trash for that. You know. Yeah. I'm not saying that to them, but like for me, I'm just like, I don't, you know, I'm just careful about who I align myself with. But to me, a friendship is it's just like a bond of mutualism. And you know, every relationship, every friendship is give and take. And at the end of the day, people, you know, we're all used for something, you know. You know, right now, like, I have a really good friend, his name is Abdul, and if I had questions about like cryptocurrency or you know, the stock market right now, he's like really into that, so I would go to him. I wouldn't go to, you know, one of my other friends who aren't doing that right now. And so
makes sense.
I don't like the term best friend. I try hard not to use it. And I've just, because all of my friends are the best. The fuck?
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're in my life and they're part of my tribe, you know, for a reason, because they all have strengths in them that I admire and or aspire to, you know, adopt for myself. So yeah, I don't know. Friendship at the end of the day, I think, is about, you know, having that mutual bond and obviously things that connect you. A lot of my friends enjoy like health and fitness and work out regularly. So just make sure you share interests and y'all are on the same track. And don't be afraid to let somebody go if, you know, if they're not moving toward the similar path as you. That's only for your benefit.
Exactly. You're right about that last point there too. Like,
And it'd be hard because it'd be so nostalgic. You'd be like, oh, but I've known her since like middle school. And, I'm like, but you're not serving me. Oh,
yeah, some people have been friends with other friends like for years and years and decades, but y'all are not moving, y'all are not progressing. Like,
it does not make sense.
Exactly. Girl, I really enjoyed this. Thanks so much. Was there anything else?
It's always fun.
Yeah, did you want to end it with anything?
Not really, just, you know, peace, love, and hair grease. Let's unite.
Girl, I can't with you. I love that.
support black business as much as you can.
Hell yeah.
Keep your family safe because it's wild in these streets
now that summer's starting.
Before summer even started, they was wilding before the cold even broke.
Yeah, girl, it is dangerous out here. So
it is. Go ahead, get your L's to carry. You know.
Yeah.
Be on
Everybody
a mission.
Everybody needs to grab one, man.
For I'm telling you, for real. Yeah. Be safe. Have a beautiful summer.
Exactly. Thanks so much, and thanks you guys for listening as always at Let's Be Honest. Don't forget to share my videos, my poetry, my podcast everywhere. They're all on other platforms as well. So merch is still out. My links are on my Instagram, all of my photography, my writings everywhere. And I'll also post my poetry book as well on my Instagram so you guys can check it out on there. Definitely appreciate you guys. I'm very grateful. Thank you. Have a good night.